Morning, all.
Good morning. Morning.
Morning.
Morning.
And just from my notes, who is labeled as user Gino? You mind identifying yourself? Oh, Are you able to, are you muted or? Is everybody able to see my screen? Good.
Yep.
Never 100% confident about what people are seeing. I think that'd be worked out by now. Let's give a couple more minutes for people to join. Hope everybody had a nice weekend.
We're very talkative this morning, too.
Yeah. Well, this morning was a very early morning for me. My kids were back at school for the first time in 3 weeks, so I actually had to get up and drive them to school. Couldn't just roll out of bed and tell them to get on the Zoom call.
But that's good. They're back in school.
Yeah.
I hope.
Makes it a lot quieter in my home office. All right. Well, in the interest of time, we'll just get started and people can join as they get on. It is like a Monday, so a little sleepy. Things are a little slow. All right, so just a little introduction. So here's our agenda. Just an introduction. This is our fourth or fifth, I can't remember which number it is, committee meeting of the Active Living Active Transportation Advisory Committee for the Active CT project. I think everyone here knows everybody else, but this is for the CDC-funded, CDC and DPH-funded project. Oh, we have another person coming. And the purpose of the meeting today is really to go over project prioritization for our third year of funding, which we just started in December. And I guess I'll start off, if anyone from the public has anything they would like to say. I don't think we have any members of the general public, but just open that for a second. And no. So next thing on my agenda is the minutes. Did everybody get a chance to look at the meeting notes from the last meeting? Oh, another person coming. And just for formality's sake, if I would entertain a motion to accept the minutes, if anyone would like to make that motion.
Moved.
And if we have a second?
I will second.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Good. All right, that's out of the way. Okay. Yeah, and so just to give a little status update, I don't have any slides on this because there hasn't been a whole lot of movement since we last met in September. The one thing is that we did hold a forum. It was a two-day forum with the Department of Transportation and the T2 Center on a complete streets information exchange. And I thought it was a very well attended event. And a lot of people had a lot of nice things to say about it. There was a very good discussion of how to get projects started, how to make sure that complete streets elements are included, and some more technical information about some complete streets solutions to various problems. And we helped to organize that and did a little presentation on some of the work that we've been doing. And it was a very good event. We've also been moving forward with some of the year two projects that got held over due to COVID-19. We did have a number of projects that were in the hopper that we just couldn't implement as things shut down. This includes the project in Norwich, which we are moving forward with in the spring. It includes New Haven's transit's platform project. This is the movable temporary transit platform, and that is going to be moving forward as well. We have a couple small projects in the capital region as well. There was a small little project on Gold Street in East Hartford, as well as another project on David Drive in Simsbury. Those are going to be moving forward. Those are very light projects, but we do hope to do those in the spring. And we also have a project in Waterbury that is going to be a fairly large project in their central town green area that we... There's pictures of all these projects in the slides from last month. I just want to let you know that these are still on the books. They're still going forward, and we plan to move them this spring, hopefully. And then we also are still doing our Connecticut Trail Finder project, which, Shauna, I don't know if you, I can't recall the date when they expect to launch that. I believe it's in the-
June 5th or June 5th? Around there. That's- like National Trails Day, so I think maybe the week or two prior.
Yeah, so that's going pretty well. I believe the consultant who's actually building the website is on board. And we have finished all of our Four Seasons photography to help seed the site with content, and we're working to help them promote that site. So that's going to be a really great resource that'll come on this year. And Shauna, did I miss any projects that we have going on?
Did you mention East Hartford?
Yeah, the Gold Street one. Okay. Yeah, so that's it's a little project there.
Yeah, I think you captured them.
Yeah, so we're going to be moving those forward as well. And then really the purpose today is to talk about year three. So we did our solicitation. This ended at the end of November, and we took December to review them. Did a fairly thorough analysis of them, but the project categories, we had complete streets trainings and implementation projects, which included workshops, presentations. Oh, Christian's here. Pop-up outreach events, quick build tactical projects, area plans and policies. There was also a bike rack solicitation, which was very popular, and a solicitation for the Train the Trainer program with Bike Walk Connecticut. So the first category, just to go a little more into this, so complete streets training implementation projects, trainings that further various complete streets and active transportation knowledge and understanding, projects that improve the built environments with quick builds, route improvements, and destination improvements. So the difference here is routes are like roadway improvements, whereas destinations, it's a little less clear exactly, but might include an area plan with improvements to improve an entire area with bike ped improvements, implementation of land use and creation of land use and community design interventions. And then, so this year we're really focusing on these everyday destinations and improving them. So this is mostly probably gonna be done through plans, but the CDC wants us to focus on these everyday destinations and improving them versus improving routes. So that is one of the focuses that we had for this solicitation. And just as a little piece of information, they include implementing bike racks as improvements to everyday destinations. So that's making those destinations more bike friendly. So that's one of the reasons that we did the bike rack solicitation. And then Train the Trainer is presented by Bike Walk CT. It's a 1-day workshop for Connecticut educators, provides them the resources and tools and skills they need to implement and teach a comprehensive bicycling education program in elementary schools. We offered this up to 10 schools or districts, and the curriculum is geared toward fourth grade. So just to kind of go over, this is how we selected projects. We had a ranking criteria, 50 points possible on the scale. And we really based this on population served. And the numbers in parentheses are the number of points that were available. So this was weighted. Population served, jobs served, geographic diversity. So we wanted to make sure that we were getting some rural projects, some urban projects, some suburban projects. Benefits to sensitive populations. So for this, we looked at the percentage of the population that was minority, low income, elderly, children, and it's populations that are particularly impacted by these concerns. Health equity, we were able to look at an EPA database of respiratory health quality in every census tract in the country. So we had a nice database that we could look at for that. And it provided an index of the relative respiratory health quality of those areas. So we use that as a proxy for this health equity factor. Relationship to everyday destinations, which we looked at the walk score. So if you're not familiar with walkscore.com, it provides a score based on how many different shops and like daycares and schools and other sorts of destinations are nearby a location or within walking distance of that location. So we use that as a proxy for quickly calculating how many everyday destinations were nearby. So the higher the walk score, the more points they got. And then also the project type. So enhancements to everyday destinations ranked higher than the routes simply because that was what CDC wanted us to focus on this year. So we didn't actually end up doing any rankings of the Train the Trainer programs because we got fewer applications than we were accepting. We had 10 slots and we only got 5 applications. So our recommendation is to just fund them all. And then we actually do have a couple other leads out there of districts that might be interested but didn't submit an application that we plan to pursue. So just real quick, so partnering with Bike Walk CT, we actually went over a lot of this, but so the applications that we got and the information in parentheses here is how many people they anticipated being involved. But we got an application from Canton, Mansfield, Meriden, Thompson, and then we did get an application for a regional approach from SCCOG. And I thought that was a very interesting one. It was for a virtual workshop. When we spoke with Bike Walk CT, and Bill Young can chime in here if he would like, they didn't think that a virtual workshop would really be as effective, but we think there is still an opportunity to do that regional approach, perhaps in person later on as things settle down a little bit more. But we'd like to pursue that regardless and see if we can make that work. Especially because we do have extra slots, so we may as well do it. We also got an inquiry from Middletown just before Christmas. It was after the application period was done, but we see no reason not to pursue that as we do have, we did plan on 10 workshops. So we might want to go forward with that. Any questions on the Train the Trainer applications or the program? Again, it's fairly strict. Yeah.
Tim, just a couple of things to say. Thank you for sending along those materials. By coincidence, we have a meeting with Bike Walk Connecticut tomorrow.
Oh, good.
And are going to be going through this, including the regional application for the virtual workshop. Talk about that. The other thing that I was planning to do is we'll talk to, we have board members now from around the state, and they may have some additional possible leads, and if so, we can get those to you. It also occurred to me, depending on the timing, once we actually do one of these, whichever one could be the earliest, and are able to provide some sort of real life experience, there may be others that get more interested, particularly as the year goes on.
That's a great point.
So in any case, we just want to let you know that this is getting attention, and it will be talked about tomorrow.
Excellent. Yeah, good to hear that you guys are able to move forward with that pretty quickly. So I was actually, you know, even though we did have 10 slots open, I was surprised that we got as many as we did, just given the situation right now with what the schools are dealing with. So I was pleasantly surprised that we got this much interest in it, especially right now. So it's great to hear that there's some movement and that we can move forward with this. And that's also a great point that others may become interested as we move along. Any other comments on this? Again, fairly straightforward. So we'll just move on to the other proposals that we had. So first up, we're just doing these in alphabetical order. There was a memo that I sent out that did discuss the prioritization, and we'll go over that at the end, but just to go through all these projects. So in Groton, they wanted to design, develop, implement on the ground demonstration project to test complete streets and road diet recommendations at the intersection of North and Bridge Streets, North and Spicer Avenue, and North and Broad Streets. So this would be a quick build project. And we thought this was a really interesting one as well. And I can't get this to come up. Hold on for 1 second. Why is this not? Oh, here it is. Okay. Sorry about that. Just trying to get my copy of the memo to come up. And so just so we are all aware, this project didn't score super high, mostly because it didn't have a lot of the impacted sensitive populations. But as we discuss in the memo, and I should have prefaced this part of the presentation with this. So originally it was our intention to just select projects for year three. But the way that we did our contract with DPH, they actually put in the contract all three of our remaining years. So years 3, 4, and 5 are all in the same contract. We just come up with a work plan for each year. And it is still the case, though, that it's a use it or lose it situation where we have to spend the money by the end of the year or we give it back for that year. So we don't just have $600,000 to play with over 3 years. We have $200,000 each year. But given the difficulty of sort of ascertaining project costs beforehand and the scopes and schedules, what we're recommending is that we do a prioritization of projects instead of just a simple awarding a certain number of projects and then awarding projects for year four, but simply take them in a priority order. And then basically all the projects we get funded over time. Some of them might go into year four. I can't imagine any of these would go into year five, but that way we can do all of these projects. And we can move things around as we need to and as project schedules slip without having to go back to the drawing board and rescope a project. So we think that this is a more efficient way to get through the year and to make sure that we don't leave any money on the table, because that was a little bit of a scramble the past couple of years for this project. At the end of the year, we have a scramble to spend the money to try to not leave it on the table and to try to get some useful work done. But that's really difficult to do if all the projects that we have going you know, hit a snag for some reason. So having this prioritization allows us to move things up as we need to in order to use that money by the end of the year. So that's sort of the way that we are approaching this. At least that's the recommendation. So so Groton, again, it ranked fairly low, but we still think it's a worthwhile project, and we think it's definitely worth doing. Got 17.5 points, but it should be an interesting one to do. Killingly, and we're recommending that this one get prioritized first. In the first 2 years, we were able to do a project in 8 out of the 9 COG regions of the state. We were not able to get one done in Northeast Connecticut. So we are recommending that we do Killingly as our top priority so that we can get all 9 COGs served by this program. So the project that they put forth in Killingly was to conduct a feasibility plan regarding the removal of mobility barriers in a large industrial park and major employment center for improved walking and biking. And there's a couple other reasons that we think this one is great to do. It's definitely focused on those everyday destinations that the CDC wants us to focus on. It's sort of an area plan that'll improve the entire industrial park. And it's sort of a unique location and land use. It's something that we haven't done before. As we've worked through this, you know, as an employment center. So we thought it was a really good project to move forward as our top priority. And also just as a sort of geographic equity throughout the state. We haven't done anything in the Northeast corner, in the Northeast corner. So we wanted to move that forward. Next on the list is Meriden. So this is also a fairly interesting one, ranked fairly highly. Design and develop a TOD outdoor space and parklet design and implementation program. And this would identify viable locations and develop design guidelines. And it would also look at implementing 2 pilot projects. And so they had some potential locations identified in proximity to restaurants, the YMCA, Senior Center, and the Meriden Transit Center. So we thought this was interesting in that it would, you know, be developing a design guidelines for these parklets, as well as actually implementing a couple on a test basis. So we thought this was more generally applicable as well to other areas. You know, we could reuse some of the design guidelines to help out others, and it could be something that others look to as sort of best practice for implementing these projects. And this is all, if you can tell on the map here, it's all really close to the downtown Meriden transit station. So New London had a request for educational training. So they wanted to hold workshops, presentations to train and educate department staff, municipal leaders, and community members on the benefits of complete streets and how complete streets can be used to increase mobility to local destinations. And the goal is of adopting a complete streets policy in the future. We had done some similar stuff in the first 2 years. So this is right up our alley, and this could be, you know, very beneficial to the entire community of New London and possibly beyond. Newtown was looking for some assistance with planning and routing study to close an approximately 3-mile multi-use trail gap. Closing the gap would connect the Housatonic Rail Trail to the center of Newtown, including schools, retirement housing, some affordable housing that was just approved, municipal center, parks, and businesses. So this is a fairly straightforward trail planning study that would be looking to find a route. And it could be very impactful. Stamford, similar to what Meriden was looking for, so they actually think there's some opportunity to have economies of scale. They wanted to have a parklet design manual to formalize the planning, application, and installation of new open spaces. You know, so this would be something that we could probably coordinate with the Meriden project, coming up with some design guidelines and some best practices for how to plan and permit parklets. And again, this could also be, you know, more broadly applicable to the rest of the state. Thompson, this is a fairly unique one, and took a little back and forth with the CDC to figure out how we might do this one, but we wanted to take a look at it, and I think we we figured out a way that we could do this project. They wanted to do an identification and planning through to project kickoff with a walking school bus. So a walking school bus is basically a sort of guided walking trip with students as a sort of walk to school program. So there's volunteers or school staff who help to make sure that the children stay safe, and they go around the neighborhood, pick up kids at their houses or at the locations, just like a school bus would do, but on foot. And then, so the project would be to find a good route that would hit as many population centers as possible, and then come up with a plan for actually implementing it. And then it would probably be looking for some of our assistance with the sort of kickoff events and doing it for the first time to help train people in how to actually do this walking school bus. And then this would become hopefully a permanent program at the schools. Luckily, in Thompson, all the schools are clustered right together, so we could actually have a fairly large impact and actually be able to do multiple schools and different grade levels at the same time. So this could be an interesting pilot. I've heard of people doing walking school buses elsewhere. I'm not sure if they've been done in the state. I think they have been done on sort of a pilot basis. I'm not sure if anyone has like a permanent program though. Sandy, you're nodding your head. Do you know of anyone who has a permanent program or has done this?
Sure, are there any permanent programs? Vernon used to do them. Hartford had some, but they sort of petered out. I don't know if South Windsor might have.
Yeah, I know they've done a lot of sort of education around this. I'm not sure though.
Yeah, the big thing that happened in South Windsor that precipitated a lot of stuff is their school board said no children could walk to school even if they lived next door to the school. So there was kind of a pushback against that.
That is quite a pushback.
Yeah. But yeah, in terms of sustained long-term, I don't know.
Yeah, so the goal here would be to actually do it on a sustainable basis. So we think that's an interesting one. And then we got a number of proposals for bike racks. So first up, this was kind of interesting. MetroCog put in for a regional proposal. This was looking at 31 different locations in 4 communities. So we had set up to 10 per community. So this was well within that guideline. The communities would be Bridgeport, Easton, Fairfield, and Stratford. And we think this is interesting because as we were going through proposals, and unfortunately, you know, we didn't really come to this conclusion before we had planned the year. But as we were going through proposals, we realized that there's a logistical issue of having bike racks delivered to people in different towns. So hopefully there's a way that we could actually have these all delivered to one central location and then have the individual towns pick them up, possibly have a consistent design for the bike racks as well, and have some economies of scale there that we might not be able to do on an individual town basis. So we thought that was an interesting proposal that we can move forward with. New London requested 10 bike racks throughout the town, mostly in the sort of central area. And then as well, some down south in the coastal part of it. New Milford requested 7 bike racks. South Windsor had 6 that they requested throughout town. Waterbury just requested 1, so we don't see any reason not to fund that one. That was fairly easy, right near their city hall. West Hartford requested 9 along the Park Road corridor. And that was it. So the way that we recommend prioritizing these projects is to do the sort of the top rated one is Killingly, followed by Stamford, followed by the MetroCog bike rack proposal, then Meriden doing their develop the guidelines, then West Hartford, Waterbury, New London, and then the New London Educational Program, the Newtown Planning and Design of the Multi-Use Trail, South Windsor's bike racks, New Milford's bike racks, Groton, and then Thompson. So that's the sort of prioritization. And, you know, the way that we would probably do this is that if a project started slipping, you know, we might move another project, the next on the list up if this, you know, if the schedule is slipping. Because one of the things that we did really run into with the year one and two projects is that as COVID hit, you know, towns got, they were shutting down and they didn't want to move forward right then, you know, but we wanted to keep them in the queue, but we didn't have other projects to take their place. So having this sort of roster of projects that we can turn to as situations change and as schedules slip would really be helpful to make sure that we can, you know, maintain momentum. And we also have quite a different variety of projects. So, you know, if on the ground implementation stuff is lagging, you know, due to, knock on wood, you know, hopefully not another pandemic, but if that were to happen or we had any other situation, you know, we can still procure bike racks or we can work on design guides. So this allows us a lot of flexibility in how we implement projects. And the real benefit is that all of them would get funded at some point.
Hey, Tim, I got a question. And I don't know how you feel about this, but is it possible for the rack manufacturer to put, you know, a small active CT logo on them somewhere with even maybe a QR code where people can find more information on the program? You're going to build awareness?
Yeah, we could look at that. And that's and that makes it's a great point in that we don't know exactly about the bike racks. What we need to do is work with each of the communities, because we also realized after we got some of them in that different towns have different standards for bike racks. Some of them have zoning codes that require a certain kind of bike rack, or, you know, they might have municipal standards on design. So we need to work with the various communities to figure out exactly, you know, what they're looking for in a bike rack, what we can provide for them, and what the logistics of getting that to them are. But that's a great idea to have a sort of, you know, a logo put on them, to customize them and have a QR code. If nothing else, we could probably, you know, put some stickers or something, make some stickers that we could put on there that hopefully are high enough quality that they'll withstand the elements for a while.
Go ahead, Tim. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead, Megan. I was finished.
Okay, this is Megan Sloan with MetroCog. Building on what Mike suggested, maybe if we do have a QR code, we could have one linking to something about bike safety or bike education too.
Yep. Stole my exact thoughts, Megan.
Oh, see, great minds think.
Yeah, tying this all together would be great.
Especially Monday morning.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea. Having it taken to a web page that has information on bike safety, could even be something. I don't know. I think Amy Watkins still on the call? It could be something with walk.
Yeah.
Watch for me, CT.
Yep. Sure. Yeah. To link to the bike safety information. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Are there any questions or thoughts that people have about this, about the rankings, the proposal, how we plan to move forward?
Tim, do you have a listing you can put up of that ranking? Because I didn't.
Oh, yeah, sure. Let me unshare my screen real quick and then I'll share it again. Yeah, and I meant to put together a slide with these, but I neglected to. Here we go. Can you all see the listing?
Yeah.
And unfortunately it bleeds onto two pages, but
So Killingly is the top ranked one?
Well, we're recommending putting them up there, even though they weren't top ranked points wise, simply because we didn't get to do a project in the Northeast region during the first 2 years, but mm-hmm. we did a project in every other region. You know, we just wanted to make sure that we hit all 9 regions of the state. So we're recommending putting that at the top just so we can move that forward. And that's also, it's a pretty good project to start in the winter because it's a planning study.
Yeah.
So we could actually start that fairly early.
I was thinking because you have the two parklet items, Stanford and Meriden, up near the top, and you could move those kind of jointly. I see that having great utility for us in Hartford. So in my own personal interest, I'd like to see that move quickly.
Yeah, and we would be moving, you know, not just one at a time. Multiple would be okay. moving forward at the okay. same time. Yeah.
And the bike education stuff, that's a whole separate list. That's a separate item, right?
Yeah, and all of those would be funded.
Okay.
Because we had funding for up to 10 of them, and we only got 5. So.
Okay.
So yeah, all 5 of those would be funded.
Is there a possibility that you'll offer that again to try to get the additional?
Sure. Yeah. Because we do have multiple. We have years 4 and 5 that we still need to put together work plans for, so we could put more work into those. And you know, even this year, if other schools, you know, put forth that they wanted to do it, I think we could probably squeeze them in. They're not very expensive to put on, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's a couple $1,000. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions on any of this?
Yeah, Tim, if you had to guess, how far down the list do you think you'd get in year 3?
I think we could probably get, it's a good question.
It's difficult because we're still funding Norwich. I think we're done with New Haven, but the Connecticut Trail Finder and a couple other projects that spilled over. And then there's a couple unknowns like Cornwall Bridge, which are state roads. And we initially thought the DOT was going to be pretty supportive of us moving forward with the demonstration project. And now it's turning into a little bit more of a, you know, an issue with, you know, more engineering and a little bit more permanence than we had expected. So we're not sure if that's moving forward or not. So I think we're still trying to figure out how much money is getting carried over from projects already on the books.
Yeah, but I think we'll have a better answer in the coming month or so as we can go through. So the way that we're doing this for this year is, you know, once we've decided on this prioritization of projects, we'll send all these over to FHI and ask them to develop a scope and a fee so that we can figure out, you know, how much is actually going to cost to do these. You know, we asked them to provide an estimate in their application, but a lot of them actually just omitted the estimates, or their estimate we thought was kind of off. So we want to get these over to FHI to come up with a good estimate for the cost. And then we can kind of figure out how many we can move forward. My best guess is that we could at least get through Meriden, if not West Hartford and Waterbury, in year 3, probably a little bit further, you know, depending on how much those bike racks end up costing and how much the different design manuals cost. I think, you know, each of these had estimated around $30,000 a piece. I don't think that Stamford and Meriden are going to cost that much. So it really depends on what, you know, we come back with as a estimated fee.
And Tim,
go ahead.
I like the approach. One of the things that has been occurring is that, you know, we've gotten interest from communities on projects, and we start them, and then they decide they want to wait another season, or for whatever reason, you know, we hit a snag. And then, you know, we hold the project and then try to figure out what else we could do. This approach, right, Tim, this allows us to now reprioritize things based on timing. So if, you know, if Meriden says we're just not ready to move forward or whatever, we can then take one that was lower on the list and move it up to keep things moving.
Yeah, that's sort of the idea, is due to the fact that we do have a time crunch, we want to be able to keep things moving. You know, and this year, due to this always seems to happen. It won't happen next year, I'm told. Getting the contract in place, you know, we were supposed to start in October, and we weren't able to get the contract with DPH until December. So we did lose 2 months of this year. But that is a great question. And I think what we would probably do is, as we get, as FHI gives us, as the consultants give us some estimates on the cost of these, and they, you know, we get a fee and scope worked out for each of these projects, you know, we would update the committee and let you guys know, you know, here are the number that we feel like we can do this year. And here are the ones that we plan for, you know, moving forward in year 4, to give you kind of a schedule to keep you guys updated on where we're moving with these projects. So
was there any discussion on, you know, once these projects are selected and scoped, having some kind of a time frame associated with them? So like, you know, we want to kind of start and finish a project within 6 months, or, you know, if a community feels like that's not possible, we rethink it, or I don't know, how did those discussions take place?
Yeah, and I think that's part of why it's a little hard to say exactly what we're going to be able to get done, is that it's going to be a little bit of a negotiation with the town and the project sponsor to figure out what that project schedule is, you know, because, you know, we have our work plans with the consultants. So we're going to need to make sure that, you know, our work plan with you guys works out with the work plan with the town. You know, we want to keep these on a fairly, you know, on a good schedule and moving forward. So that is going to be part of the negotiation, I think, of that scope. So I think that, you know, going into scoping, we're going to come up with project schedules. And that's going to let us know a little bit more about how much we can get done in the year and when we can expect to do these different projects as we move forward. But it's going to be a little bit of a negotiation, I think. That's a great question, Sam. And I think that, you know, the real answer is, you know, we'll try to fit as many as we can in, and then we'll update you guys once we have those scopes and fees figured out and let you know, here's the schedule for moving these forward and give you kind of a break point. You know, these ones will start moving forward in year four, whereas these ones are going to be done in year three. And then as projects slip or move, we'll keep you updated as well.
Hi, Tim. This is Kristen from WestCog. I'm just wondering, will CROG be reaching out to all of the applicants to let them know how their project's prioritized and what the next steps are?
Yes. Yeah, so we'll be getting in touch with all of them, and we'll kind of be taking this as we'll take the first, I think again, probably down to about West Hartford or Waterbury and start working on those scopes and fees, and then we'll let all the other towns know, you know, this is our process. And that we'll be in touch, you know, very soon to start figuring out a scope and a fee for them. And we'll try to get all these scoped out as soon as possible so that we can figure out our schedule for the next couple of years. Yeah, we'll be taking care of that. And, you know, if you want, we can, we'd be happy to include the COG on those conversations as well.
That would be great. Thanks.
Yeah, we'd be happy to keep you in touch. Any other thoughts on this? Does anyone think this is not a good approach, or that we should do things a little bit differently, or any changes that would be suggested? Okay, good. And I guess, you know, just... even though this isn't a super formal committee, if anyone, you know, we'd, I think, entertain a motion to sort of bless the process and the prioritization and sort of, you know, move forward that the committee agrees. Anyone wants to offer up a motion?
Christian Meyer, I make a motion to bless the ranking as presented by Tim Malone.
Thank you, Christian. Do we have a second?
Megan Sloan with
MetroCog,
I'll second it.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Excellent. All right. And, you know, we have a few more minutes. Does anyone have any other questions or comments about the program in general, or anything that we've been doing, any projects we did before, anything we're moving forward? Or anything you guys just want to discuss in general on this lovely Tuesday morning? No?
Good job, Tim.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us. And again, you know, we'll be in touch as we get these sort of scoped out and we figure out our schedule. And then I think also as we move forward, you know, once we know our schedule a little bit better, we'll also know when we need to solicit for some more projects, because I don't think this is going to fill year four and five. I think we're probably still going to need some more projects. So we'll probably come back and, you know, be looking to solicit some additional projects as we move forward. And we'll be looking for you guys for help with doing that. But so we'll be in touch soon with more information on that.
Hey, Tim, quick question. This is Christian again. You asked, you were looking for more stakeholders to get involved in this committee. You want us just to shoot you an email?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
Yeah, if you know of anyone else who you think would be a good voice to have on this committee, you know, kind of helping us prioritize projects or move them forward or even, you know, bringing projects to us, that'd be great. And just once again, I didn't catch who user Gino is. Do you mind?
That might be me, Tim. Gene Nichols from DPH.
Oh, okay. Oh, hey, Gene.
Hey.
Glad you could join us.
Yes.
Our wonderful funder.
Yes. Always helps.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll let you all go then. Thank you all for joining us this morning and for helping us with this. And we'll be in touch soon to let you know about the schedule of moving these projects forward. And we look forward to it.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Tim.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you, Tim.
Bye.